The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and then they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret, and they moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever Jesus went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Holy and precious God, we know that you have given us a shepherd in our Savior Jesus Christ. As we gather together today to hear your holy word, we pray that you would send us your Holy Spirit, that it might quiet our hearts and our minds and blow in our lives to teach us what you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know I can't say that. I want you just to start thinking about something, and hopefully by the time the sermon's done, you're not going to be thinking that the sermon is this. But I want you to think about forever and what forever means. Because that's a very powerful word. That's why we get filled with the psalm with us this morning, because that last word of the 23rd psalm is forever. And so I want you to kind of start thinking about what that means, and like I said, the sermon isn't going to go on forever. But as I was looking at the text today, we've got this wonderful image of Jesus again. And Jesus is out, and if you're reading Mark's Gospel, as Mark's Gospel is progressing, every time Jesus shows up, the people are just flooding to him. They're flooding to him, they're finding him. He's going back and forth across the Sea of Galilee. And as he leaves one side to go to the other side, the word spreads. And by the time he lands, the people are there waiting for him. You know, you have to think about this, because there's no telling our secret cell phones. This is word of mouth. And as Jesus goes, the people are waiting for him. And as he arrives, I mean, his disciples have just come back. They've been out in the villages, they've been preaching, they've been teaching, they've been healing, they've been casting out demons. They're coming back to Jesus to give him a report. And he just wants to spend some time with them, finding out about their ministry. But as soon as they get to the shore, the people are there waiting for Jesus' ministry. And he has compassion on them, because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep without a shepherd. And as I was thinking about it today, I was starting to think about images of what a shepherd is. Because it's so important when we think about Jesus as the shepherd to think about what a shepherd does. You know, the shepherd's someone who keeps the sheep in mind. You know, he doesn't play, right? He's kind of gently folks, he gently bonds, he kind of gathers them together. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember, but when I grew up on Saturday morning and watched Looney Tunes on television, his dad, he was kind of shaking his head. And one of the Looney Tunes cartoons that I didn't hear ever remember was the one with Brad the Wolf and Sam the Sheepdog. Yeah, you remember that? Sam was the shepherd. He was the sheepdog. He was protecting the sheep from Ralph. And Ralph tried everything, but no matter what Ralph did, they had sheep, Sam was always there one step ahead of him. Yeah. that knows us from us. He's the one guiding us. He's the one guarding us. He's the one protecting us. He's the one watching over us. He's the one that knows when we're going to turn behind. He's the one that's there. He's the one that's guarding us. That's an image of Jesus as a good shepherd. And we do need to know that there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. Because when you read the words of Jeremiah this morning, Jeremiah talks to us about the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. The ones who scatter the flock. And we are warned in the book of Jeremiah about these kind of shepherds. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters in Christ, that when we look to Jesus as a shepherd, when we look to him as one who guides and guards and protects us, we need to know that there are those out there who claim to be active in the name of Christ. But they don't. Now, one of the things that I struggle with as a pastor over and over and over again, one of the things that's very hard for me, people always ask me, especially in hospice, about why is there suffering in the world? Why are good things happening to bad people? And if I ever come up with an answer, I'll let you know. But it's a struggle. But one of the things that I really struggle with is the bad theology that's out there. The gospel of prosperity. The gospel that says, if you do right by God, God will reward you. There's a minister out there somewhere you saw that. He spent $65 million to buy a chair. He said it's because God has blessed him. Who needs an airplane at $65 million to do ministry? But some people hang on to this idea that if you do good, if you do right, God will bless you and bless you abundantly. And it's a problem with that theology. Because, brothers and sisters, our theology is a theology of the cross. We know that when we die to Christ, we rise to Him. But there are shepherds who will tell us that good things come to good people. And again, that's bad theology, because the flip side of it is, if we are not blessed, if we are poor, if we are in poverty, if we don't have God, that same message says to us that we're not good people. And that's something that's for us people. We need to be aware of. We need to struggle with. We need to understand. We need to understand that when we say God rewards those who are good, the flip side is that God punishes those who are bad. And so if your station in life is not as good as the next person, that suggests that you aren't as good on earth as God's. And that's something together that we need to know. And if you do that very well here, that's why. Christ and God do it by words. We put food out. We don't check incomes. We don't check where someone lives. We don't look. We just give. We give those who ask that are food pantry. We give them food in God's name. We bless them with the blessings that we ourselves have received from God. And that's part of what it means to discern the good and the bad shepherds. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the one who feeds the poor, who shelters the homeless, who clothes the naked. He's the one who reaches out into the neighborhoods. He crosses boundaries. And he says, all are welcome and equal in my love. And that's a powerful thing. That we need to continue to remember and do every day, brothers and sisters. To reach out to those around us with the love that we ourselves have received from them. And we have to reach out. We have to really have to be intentional because we're sheep. And I hate to tell you this, but sheep aren't smart. They're not. I've never forgotten one of my friends, right? And I went through way in the northern border. People bring it back to it. That's when we're watching sheep being moved from one pasture to another. Now, a large cow is getting moved from one pasture to another, and that is a tough thing. There were pickup trucks, there were dogs, there were guys and horses, and the cattle were working on that set. But sheep, there was one guy in the little four-wheel ATV, and there was a little sheep dog, and a guy drove, and a sheep followed. They need a shepherd. And that's what we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a shepherd who loves us so much that even when he was on this earth and he was clear, he had compassion on those in need. And he stepped out. And he taught them. He had compassion. He healed them. He listened to them. He met them where they were. And he loved that. And I want to get back to that word. Forever. When Christina was born, and when many of you were there, she's got a little bit of energy, right? 3.5 years she didn't see the lights. That seemed like forever to parents. But she slept through the night earlier than we had more kids. 1983, I was sitting at Seattle College in the post office there with somebody who follows. I did identify it, and this woman bounced up to me and said, "How about going out on a date?" Well, it's not 3 years later than we were. Now, I'm not saying that seems like forever. But when I say we've been married 30 years, and I'm going to make it 30, how many years have been married longer? How many here have been married longer than 40 years? How many here have been married longer than 50 years? 60? 65? Does that seem like forever? It's crazy that it's shorter. But what keeps you together after 60 years? It's love. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Because after 60 years with someone, you know their quirks, you know everything that they do. You know everything about them, and boy, you still love them in spite of that kind of shit. People always look at me and say they're crying, and they say, "Yeah, I talk to my wife, she'll tell you how much I'm crying." But think about this. Think about this. 60 years seems like forever. But when we talk about the law of God that Christ Jesus, the shepherd, has poured into our hearts, when we talk about what awaits us when we die, when we talk about dwelling in the house of the Lord, we have a promise from our God who loves us and forgives us that it will be forever. Not my forever, not your forever, but God's. And I think when I read through the Bible, that's one of the strongest words that I've ever seen. That last word of the 23rd Psalm, where the psalmist says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Think about what that means, brothers. Forever. It's a solid word. It's a strong word. But more than that, it is a word of grace that is poured into us. It is a promise that is poured into us. It is the light of God that shines in our lives. It is what helps us to face each and every day. It's what helps us to reach out to neighbor in love. It is what helps us to feed the poor, to heal the sick, to shelter the homeless. It is God's promise that God's love will never leave us and will be with us forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we face each day, as we struggle to be sheep, know that we have a good shepherd. He loves us, he blesses us, and his promise is our good, and he will never leave us, and he will be with us forever. God's forever. Forever. Amen. The hymn.